gates are open wide, we worship you. Shout, Hosanna, Jesus he saved. Shout, Hosanna, he rose from the grave. Come and lift him up. Hosanna, shout, Hosanna, Jesus he saved. Shout, Hosanna, he rose from the grave. Come and lift him up. Hosanna.
Heavenly Father, we give you praise on this Easter Sunday that we serve a risen Savior. We pray now that you would remind us that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our risen Lord. Meet with us now and have your way in our hearts. We ask it in your precious name. Amen.
Please stand and sing number 241, He Lives.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever man may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just the same I hear Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy past. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Let's sing that chorus one more time. Okay, and on the end. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives, he lives, he lives. Three times within my heart, okay?
He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives, he lives, he lives within my heart.
Amen. We have an Easter litany this morning, and I would like for you to read with me responsively. Praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who raised his Son from the death.
Praise the Lord for persuading the women and men who watched him die on the cross that he was alive.
You showed yourself, Lord, to your heartbroken mother.
Her grief vanished, her doubts gave way to faith.
You comforted Mary Magdalene, for whom you had forgiven so much. Your death on the cross took its toll among your disciples.
When you appeared to them, there were only 10.
You knew what Judas had done.
Your heart ached for him, for his wretched end.
You understood and pitied the missing Thomas.
You accepted his sorrow and doubt. You won him back.
Your mercy was vast. You never gave up on anyone. You knew, in spite of his temper and other shortcomings,
that he loved you with such passion that one day he too would die on the cross as a witness to the gospel.
We praise you for the Great Commission and for your promise of power to your disciples.
Glad for the assurance that God's Spirit would soon be sent to empower them to be the apostles, founders of your church, bearers of the gospel of God's love,
in the presence of the martyrs and saints of these 20 centuries, we worship and praise you on this glorious Easter day, saying, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to
as we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God?
Our friend Al Lineke is in the hospital in CCU in Gainesville, Georgia.
Al Lineke in the hospital in Gainesville, Georgia. Sally's going to be having meniscus surgery this week. Do keep her and Charlie in your prayers. Any others? Shirley Morris's son, yes, having surgery Wednesday. Do you remember him and Shirley? As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that you so loved every single one of us that you gave your only son to be born, to live, to die, and finally to rise again. We pray this morning that you would remind us that through all of life and death, you're with us. Remind us, Lord, that death is not the end, but as your Son showed us, death is but the gateway to the eternal life that you've promised for us. Help us that we might trust you day by day. Help us that song, "He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am his own," might be more than just something that's in the hymnal. Maybe something that's in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. We realize this morning that our brothers and sisters all around the globe are celebrating that we have a risen Lord, celebrating that he was able to be victorious through life and over death. We pray that you would give us that sense of victory and hope in our own lives. Remind us that nothing is going to happen to us that us and God together can't handle. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the hope that we have in that empty tomb. We pray now that you'd be with each one here. We don't know what today holds, or this week, or this new month, but we know that you're in control, and that's all that we need. Help us now. We might realize that we are both a Christmas and an Easter people, and that we might celebrate that every single day of the year. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, the babe of the Bethlehem manger, the Christ of Calvary's cross, our Lord and Savior of the risen tomb, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for all of your many wonderful blessings and gifts to us. We pray now that you would bless these, our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, before him. Praise to the Lord, let the people rejoice, he is risen. Death is defeated, the power of sin has been broken.
Good morning. Today's scriptures from Acts 2:22-28. People of Israel and the people of Rockwood, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus of the Nazareth by doing wonderful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But you followed God's prearranged plan. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to the cross and murdered him. However, God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life again, for death could not keep him in its grip. King David said this about him, "I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is filled with joy, and my mouth shouts with his praises. My body rests in hope. For you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will give me wonderful joy in your presence."
I want to take a moment this morning to thank Clayton, our choir, Wayne, and our scripture reader this morning was Master Sergeant Rebecca Sue Lord Schaefer. She's with us for the weekend, and we're very thankful for that, and we appreciate her participating also. I need your help this morning. Somebody says, yeah, he needs a lot of help. Well, that's true too, but during the sermon, if you look at your sermon outline there, there's a script there for you. Right under the date, April 1st, 2018, whenever I say he is alive, I would like for you all to respond, he is alive indeed. Okay? Now, let me tell you this. Your response doesn't have to be loud. Okay? Maybe the same way that you would respond if you were at Neyland Stadium in the final game of the national championship. 30 seconds left to play in the fourth quarter, and the score is tied. And the Vols recover a fumble on the opponent's 10-yard line. Okay, let's practice that. He is alive.
He is
alive. That's great. Okay, you got that down. I heard about a preacher that was asked to do a graveside service for one of their long-lost members. And the cemetery was some 2 hours away. Well, when that day came, the preacher was really feeling sick. He wasn't feeling well at all. So he decided he would ride to the cemetery in the hearse with the funeral director. By the time they got to the cemetery, he was really, really under the weather. He could barely stand up. They made it through the service, and they were getting ready to go back home again. And the funeral director said, "Look, the hearse is empty. Why don't you climb in the back and lay down and rest a little bit? Go to sleep. There are curtains all the way around. I'll close them so nobody will see. And that might be a whole lot easier on you." So the minister agreed, and he hadn't much more than got back there and lay down before he went sound asleep. A little while later, he woke up. The hearse was stopped. Funeral director wasn't in the car. So he opened up the curtains to see where they were. And there he was face to face with a gas station attendant who was pumping gas in the car. The gas station attendant dropped the hose, ran into the station, eyes as big as saucers and his knees trembling, with the funeral director right behind him trying to explain. Having somebody peek out through the curtains in the back of a hearse isn't something you normally see every day. Well, you know, I kind of imagine people in Jesus' day weren't too sure what was going on either. There were a lot of people that kind of thought this wasn't going to happen, or they were planning on it not happening. There were doubters that day who could not defeat Jesus. But he is alive. Good, that'll keep you awake too, maybe. Verse 23 says, "But you followed God's prearranged plan with the help of lawless Gentiles. You nailed him to the cross and murdered him. He came to his own, yet his own received him not." You ever had people that doubted you? I think we all have. People who didn't believe in you? Times when you doubted yourself? You're not alone. In fact, not too long ago, there was a young jockey who seemed to have potential, but he lost his first race and his second race and his third race. He lost his first 50 races. He lost his first 100 races. He lost 200 races. He lost 250 races. About that time, people would really start doubting, wouldn't they? He was probably doubting as well. However, he won race number 251. And Eddie Arcaro went on to be one of the greatest jockeys that was ever on the racetrack. There was a 53-year-old preacher. He spent years writing a manuscript. He wanted to publish a book. He spent years writing that manuscript, and he finally got it done. He sent it in to 12 different publishers. And every one of them rejected it. When he got rejection letter number 12 back in the mail, he took the manuscript and he threw it in the wastebasket, and he said, "That book will never be published." His wife started to reach into the wastebasket to get it. He said, "No, I don't want you to ever take that out of the wastebasket. The book will never, ever be in print." She honored his request. She didn't take the manuscript out of the wastebasket. However, the next day she took the whole wastebasket and wrapped it up and sent it to one more publisher. The publisher got the big package in the mail and he opened it up, and here's a wastebasket with a manuscript in it. He read the manuscript. He liked it. He published it. And it sold over 30 million copies. The name of the book was The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. There were people who doubted Jesus. In fact, until after his death, Jesus' own brothers doubted his divinity. Jesus' disciples even had questions. One of them betrayed him. One denied him. When he went to his hometown to preach, they said, "Isn't this the son of Joseph the carpenter?" He couldn't do any miracles there, the Bible tells us, because of their unbelief. When he died and was buried in a borrowed tomb, his disciples fled and hid. They were afraid, they were frustrated, they were discouraged, they were doubting. They questioned everything that had happened in the past 3 years. But the good news is, whether we believe in the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the reality of his resurrection or not, he is alive.
He is alive.
You're doing good. Secondly, death could not defeat Jesus. He is alive. In verse 24 of Acts 2 that Rebecca read to us, it said, "God raised him up again, putting an end to the horrors of death." Unless Jesus comes back before our time on earth is done, we're all going to die. Jesus didn't put an end to death, but he took the agony out of death. We die, but in Jesus Christ, it's a transition for you and me from a temporal world to a permanent one, from a world full of pain into one that knows no pain or sorrow. Jesus put an end to the agony of death. Matthew 27, the next day, on the first day of the Passover ceremonies, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, "Sir, we remember what the deceiver once said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will be raised from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everybody he came back to life. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first." Pilate replied, "Take guards and secure it the best you can." So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it. Here they were, Roman soldiers, who knew that their life depended upon them completing this mission. To fail would be for them to die. So they were standing there on guard at the tomb. Easter morning came, and Mary was going to the tomb to prepare Jesus' body properly for burial, because he was hanging on the cross. It was almost sundown on Friday, the beginning of the Sabbath, and she couldn't do it then. So they had to hastily wrap the body and put it in the tomb, thinking, well, we'll come back on Sunday and we'll do the job upright. Her biggest concern was how she was going to move that stone so she could prepare Jesus' body. By the time she arrived there, there was an angel sitting on the stone. Her biggest problem was that stone. God sent an angel to sit on it. The disciples out on the Sea of Galilee, their biggest problem was the raging sea. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came walking on it. Okay? He takes care of those problems. Because it's Easter, you and I can have happiness, joy, and a song in our hearts. Death could not hold our Lord. He arose. Thirdly, the devil could not defeat Jesus. He is alive. That's what Peter says when he speaks that passage in verse 27. "For you will not leave my soul among the dead." Beginning with Adam and Eve, the devil jumped with glee because he had managed to bring about a separation between humans and God. When Jesus was born, the devil thought he could kill Jesus by having Herod to issue a decree that all male children in Bethlehem under 2 years old were to be killed. During Jesus' temptation, the devil tried to get Jesus to take a shortcut and not go to the cross, but Jesus resisted. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "Lord, if it's possible." God the Father said, "It's not possible. You must die for the sins of the world." On the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." And again, the devil danced with glee. Then on that first Easter Sunday, Jesus arose and Satan was defeated. Jesus was king then, and Jesus is now king forever and forever. And you and I, with the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives, can be empowered. We can be victorious. We can be victorious in death, and we can also defeat the enemy. It's interesting to read on there in the book of Acts, where the scripture was from this morning. The church grew for two basic reasons. One was that the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. Spirit-filled people have power as individuals and as the Church of Jesus Christ. And secondly, the believers had an attitude that nothing was impossible. They witnessed the crucifixion and the resurrection, and now they knew that nothing was impossible. The spirit of faith compelled them to go out and share the good news. Okay, point number four. Easter gives us a new outlook on life. He
is alive. Easter is an attitude that nothing is impossible with God. It says there's no problem that God cannot control. It reminds us that nothing is going to happen today or this month or this year or however long we walk on this earth. Nothing is going to happen that us and God together can't handle. Number five, Easter gives us a new outlook on death. He is alive. Well, this is great. People wouldn't believe Methodists could do that, you know it? I've shared with you before, they used to call us, way back when, they used to call us shouting Methodists. And now the only time we hear shouting is in the board meetings. Oh my goodness, but it gives us a whole new outlook. We look at death differently. It's merely moving from one home to another. Here are some things children... Nah, let's not even do that. I read about a mother that was nearing death. And her son had to go on a business trip. And he told his mother, he said, I'll get back just as quick as I can, Mom. I want you to know that I'm praying for you and I'll be there for you. And finally, the mother sent her son a text message. And she said, son, not much time left and I want you to know, when you get back, if I'm not here, you'll know where I am. Oh, my. There's some truth to that song that says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Yes. As Christians, we know that in Jesus Christ, death no longer has a hold on us. And number six, Easter gives us a new outlook toward God. He is alive.
He is alive.
Remember Mary crying at the tomb? She'd come to see the body of her Lord. When he appeared, she didn't recognize him. But then when he called her by name, she knew who it was. The resurrected Lord changed her life. My friends, Jesus knows every one of us by name. He knows right where you are. He knows what you're going through. And he wants you to be able to recognize him and know that he's there with you. Easter is not just a historical event. It is that, but it's more than that. If we allow Jesus Christ to come into our hearts, he will give hope and peace and joy and forgiveness, a beautiful day and a fantastic eternal forever. Jesus wants to give you and me the miracle of Easter. Again, let me quote Romans 8, 37 through 39. No, despite all of these things, no matter what you read in the paper, no matter what you see on TV, no matter what's going on in Washington, D.C., no matter what, no matter what Russia does, no matter what North Korea does or anybody else, it says, no, in spite of all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Paul goes on and says, for I am convinced. Now, probably some of the hardest people in the world to convince are preachers. And probably one of the most tenacious preachers that's ever walked this earth was Paul. But Paul was convinced. He says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or on the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. My friends, this Easter Sunday, and every day rejoice, because he is alive.
He is alive indeed.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that our Lord and Savior is alive. We pray now that you would meet with us and remind us that we serve a risen Savior. Amen. I invite you to join with me now in the prayer of confession and pardon. Savior, you are calling us to your table
to celebrate your birth, your life, death, and resurrection, and to enjoy your presence,
to experience your healing, and to have our lives filled to overflowing, to be one with your people of every time and place, to receive your gifts to us of love, joy, and peace. But we dare not come with dirty hands and sin-stained hearts. Only your forgiveness can make us clean. Everybody read together, please. In the hustle and bustle of life, we have pushed you to the edges of our lives as we have become too busy with urgent matters. We have fooled ourselves into believing we don't have time to pray and we are too exhausted to serve. We invent excuses for ignoring the poor and avoiding those who are hurting, hungry, homeless, helpless, and hopeless. Too often we have robbed you by not giving tithes and offerings, which all belong to you. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to do better. Help us to plan our days and our actions according to your will. Check our hearts to believe that those who cannot pay us back. Forgive us and fill us with the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. May we be your Christmas and Easter people every day. Then we can celebrate this meal with all of the saints of every time and place. Amen. We come to that time in the service when we gather at the Lord's table. May I remind you that in the United Methodist Church, we have open communion. You don't have to be a United Methodist. You don't have to be a member of Rockwood United Methodist Church. The prayer that we just prayed, if that's a prayer of your heart, this is the Lord's table, and it's open for you. This morning, I would like for us to do it a little bit differently because of time constraints, because of all that we're trying to get done on this Easter Sunday, the fantastic job our choir is doing. We don't want to limit them. So what I would like for us to do, if those who are going to help serve, if you would come forward, we will have the ones with the bread right here at the corner. You will all come down and you'll take the bread, and as you walk past, you will eat it. Halfway down the altar rail, you will get the cup, you take it, you drink it, leave the empty cup there on the altar rail, and just go right on around the side aisles and return back to your seats, okay? We'll do it that way, and hopefully it'll work well. Choir, if you will come on down first.